A couple weeks ago, we started Titus, a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a young pastor on the Isle of Crete, basically written to affirm or support his ministry there. The church was started by Paul, and he asked Titus to stay and help get it organized. But it was also an instruction book to the church. And a couple weeks ago, we covered just the first 9 verses, which encompassed Paul's introduction, and then his instruction to Titus to set up elders and bishops in the churches that were there. And so tonight we start in verse 10, and really the rest of the chapter is the reason why Paul instructed Titus to set up the elders and to set up the bishops. Again, they were fighting in this church just like they were in the church at Ephesus where Timothy was. They were fighting false teachers that were coming in and teaching false doctrine. They were doing it in a self-serving way, as we'll talk about in just a minute. But look at verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. That word unruly is the same word that's used in verse 6 when it's talking about children, about how an elder should have children that are not unruly. And basically what that word means is that it means uncontrolled. And so an elder shouldn't have children that are uncontrolled. But these teachers, the same word is used to describe them. And teachers that are teaching false doctrine, teachers that are teaching not the truth but falsehoods, really reject any type of authority that anybody tries to exercise over them. And it's been true through all time. If they teach lies, they don't want nobody coming in and revealing what they're doing. Then it says vain talkers, which means basically they speak, but their words are empty. They have no meaning. They convey no truth. And then deceivers, those that lead people astray. And it says especially those of the circumcision. And some of the worst false teachers that came on the scene were Jews who were trying to get the people to hang on to the old ways. The old ways, the ceremony that went along with the Jewish religion, the sacrifices that were in the Jewish religion. And so they were deceiving people. They were full of vain talking. They were unruly. And so here's what Paul says in verse 11. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, again, we read it in the Bible, and if we're not careful, if we don't really look at the words, we don't feel the intensity that Paul's putting into this instruction. He's telling Titus, and he uses that phrase, whose mouth must be stopped, he's using a Greek word that means put something in their mouth to gag them. Put something in their mouth so they can't talk. Put something in their mouth so that they shut up. It's an imperative kind of word. It's a command kind of word that says you got to get them to be quiet. You got to get them to quit teaching these falsehoods. And he says why? Because they are subverting whole houses. They're leading whole families astray. They're leading whole families. That's what it means when it says whole houses. They're leading whole families away from the truth. They're leading whole families away from salvation. They're leading whole families away from heaven. Paul says, hey, what I'm talking about here, it's serious. What I'm talking about here is life and death kind of stuff. There is a lot at stake. Again, they are leading people away from Jesus Christ. They're teaching things which they ought not. They're teaching lies. They're teaching doctrines that don't lead people closer to God, but that lead people away. And by the way, if a teacher or a preacher doesn't help you get closer to Jesus, if they don't help you love Him more, If you don't want to be more like him as you sit under their teaching or preaching, if you don't want to serve him more, then you ought to get you a different teacher and a different preacher. A teacher or a preacher ought to draw us closer to Jesus Christ. It ought to make us want to be more like him. It ought to make us want to serve him more. And these false teachers were leading people not in that direction, but away from Jesus Christ. And Paul says, they're doing it for the money. They're doing it for filthy lucre's sake, for their personal gain, not to help other people, but what they can get out of it. Now look at verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. And what Paul was saying, hey, there's one of them, one of these well-known false teachers. He's a prophet, and he was probably talking about a guy by the name of Epimenides, something like that, who was a Cretan, who was a poet, who in his writing, in his literature, made the point, hey, we're just a bunch of liars. We don't tell you the truth. We tell you falsehoods. And the name Cretan came to be known just like the name sodomy was named for the sin that was going on in the city of Sodom. If you were from the city of Cretan, you were known as a liar because they were all liars in a sense. Now, I'm sure there were people that weren't liars from there, but that's what the name came to mean, a liar, somebody that told falsehoods. So they're always liars. They are like evil beast, ferocious beast, whose desire is to destroy their prey or to destroy the people that they're actually teaching. Instead of building them up, again, instead of helping them get closer to the Lord, their desire is to tear them down, and they have slow bellies. In other words, they're gluttons. They're idle gluttons. They sit around and stuff themselves. Again, they're in it for the money. They are gluttons. They don't really care about the people that they're teaching or try to help them. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 that, you know, if you're like that, you should put a knife to your throat. That's what Solomon says. Look at verse 13. This witness is true. What Paul is telling Titus, Titus, listen, what I'm telling you is absolute truth. What I'm telling you about them is factual. I'm not making it up. You need to hear this truth. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. What Paul is saying is, Titus, when you encounter these people, don't be timid. Don't be apologetic. Don't worry about being politically correct. Come at them. Tell them that they're lying. Tell them that they're leading families away from God. Tell them that their falsehood is destroying people. And again, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. The purpose of your rebuke is not vindictive. It's to correct them. If they're going to be a teacher, get them to teach the truth. Get them to stay away from falsehood. And again, Paul is saying, there is much at stake. Now, I would tell you, we need this instruction today, I think, more than they did in Paul's day. We sometimes, in order to get along, we sometimes, in order to be politically correct, go along to get along. There are churches and there are teachers and there are preachers, and what they are teaching and preaching are sending people straight to hell because they're not teaching the truth. They're not teaching the Word of God. And Paul would say to us, just like he said to Titus, don't just sit there, stand up and rebuke them and tell them the harm that they are causing. I was thinking about, look, if somebody you knew was about to drink a cup of poison, wouldn't you want somebody to come up and slap that cup out of their hand? If somebody had a gun and was about to kill themselves with a gun, wouldn't you want somebody to come up and knock that gun out of their hand? I would. So would you. And yet we set by in order to get along and let this false teaching go on. And again, just so that we don't offend anybody, and I know I'm getting too excited. I'm supposed to be teaching tonight, and I apologize. But look, if it is true that there is only one way to heaven, then everybody can't be right. If it is true there's only one way to heaven, and we know the right way, it doesn't matter how many people we offend. It doesn't matter how politically incorrect we are. If our way is the right way, then we need to proclaim it unashamedly, not timidly, but boldly, because it makes the difference between heaven and hell. It makes the difference for an eternity for those people that are hearing it. So don't worry. Well, my grandpa and grandma grew up in this church and they believe what they taught. Well, if it's sending them to hell, then just let grandpa and grandma know that what they're hearing is wrong. It's not true. It's not Bible. And that's what Paul was saying. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Again, through time, there's always been two ways. There's God's way and man's way. And we have to choose. Which one are we going to believe? I mean, it's been this way from the Garden of Eden. It was this way with Cain and Abel. It was this way in Paul's day. It's this way in our day. Men today think they got a better idea than God. Men today think they can devise plans to get right with God. They ignore the plan that God has already had in place, that's been in place before the foundation of the world. And what Paul is saying, don't give heed. Don't give heed to the Jewish fables. And there was a lot of Jewish teachers that were teaching, well, we got to go back to what we did before Jesus came. Got to go back to the sacrifices. Got to go back to all the ceremony. And you remember, Paul prayed in the book of Romans. He said, my heart's desire is that my people could know what I know about Jesus Christ. And then verses 15 and 16. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Here's what Paul's saying in those two verses. If we're pure. Now what makes us pure? Jesus Christ makes us pure. None of us are pure apart from him. All things are pure. And what Paul's saying is, hey, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we can find something good in everybody. And we can find something good in every situation. Doesn't mean we're going to agree with them. I mean, again, Paul says if they're teaching a falsehood, stand up against them, rebuke them, teach the truth. But as Christians, because we have a heavenly perspective, we can find something good in everybody and find something good in every situation that we can use for the sake of Jesus Christ. But to the undefiled, and unbelieving is nothing pure. What Paul's saying is they have a hard time finding good in anything. They are so set in their ways. They are so set in that the fact that they think their way is right that they don't see anything good in anything else or in anybody else. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. In other words, their mind, the center of their being, their conscience is turned to wickedness. He says in that next verse, they think they know God. They profess to know God, but you can't see it in what they do. And again, we've said it many, many times from this place. What we believe is going to show up in our actions. What we believe is going to show up in our actions. If we profess Christ, then that better show up in our actions. It better show up in our actions. He ends that verse, but in works, they profess to know him, but in works they deny him, being abominable, which is a strong hatred, and disobedient, and unto every good word, reprobate. That means their good works are tested, and they come up short. they come up short. And so Paul says, Titus, that's why you need to set up the elders. That's why you need to set up the bishops. That's why you need to organize the church so that you can stand against these people that are teaching the falsehoods and are teaching things that are leading people away from God straight into hell. And he would say, again, don't be timid. Don't be apologetic. Don't worry about being politically correct. You know, there's probably people in hell right now that are there because some Christian was trying to get along with somebody else and didn't proclaim the truth. We need to proclaim the truth. Again, if our way is the right way, and it is, every way can't be right. And if we got the right way, we need to proclaim it. We need to tell people. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. People say, well, you're a narrow-minded Baptist. You betcha I am. I am a narrow-minded Christian. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. But narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to life. And that narrow way and straight gate is Jesus Christ and him alone. Nothing else. Thank you for being here tonight.